How are we doing today, ladies and gents? Welcome back to Clown Question, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer. And the question I have today for numerous NFL teams is, who is the starter? I'll attempt to answer that question in addition to some other questions. I will also be having on little bro, my little brother, Jonna Maurer, will be joining us on the podcast for an in-person podcast. Finally got a new microphone, so I think it's maybe the best audio I've had from an in-person interview thus far. So excited for that. Hope you are too. Who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So who is the starter? I've got a list of four different teams here who have made a decision this week at quarterback to make a change here. The most notable one obviously being Michael Penix Jr. will be replacing Kirk Cousins. This one's weird to me. I think it's a little early. I can't argue with the fact that maybe Penix gives him a better chance to win, maybe gives him a better chance to get to the playoffs, potentially win a playoff game, but it just seems so early. Their whole theory here was you're going to sit behind Kirk Cousins and learn. Similar to what obviously the Patriots were doing with Drake May. They had him sitting behind Jacoby Brissett, but maybe it's a similar thing there where we're like, you know what, we can't wait any longer. He's obviously the better player. But yeah, it just seems crazy to pay Kirk $180 million and then bench him before his first season with the team is even over. I don't know. I just think one of two things is going to happen. I think A, Penix is great and he's a starter for the rest of the time, and Kirk Cousins is a backup and they paid him $180 million for nothing. Maybe they cut him, save some money. B, you play Penix and then he doesn't play well. You go back to Kirk and then I think you're hurting Penix's confidence. So both not ideal scenarios. Hopefully there's a third option where both of them can succeed, but I don't know. In a QB controversy, usually there's only one winner, unfortunately. And that winner right now is Michael Penix. In addition to some other quarterbacks, this one I'm pissed about. The Browns have benched Jameis Winston for DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I'm very sad. Jameis evidently threw too many interceptions for the Browns to move forward with him again. Don't really get the move here because if their argument is like, oh, Jameis is losing us games with all these turnovers, like, do you really care? Like, do you want to win? You're not in the playoffs. You're already eliminated. You're going for a draft pick. So, I don't know. I don't see why they're going to DTR here. But I don't know. The DTR experience is almost as entertaining as a Jameis Winston experience. So, I guess that's the silver lining there. Another quarterback change came out of Tennessee. The Titans are going to go with Mason Rudolph this week instead of Will Levis. The Mayo men's generational run has come to an end, it seems. No more Will Levis memes, unless maybe you see a sad Will Levis on the bench with the clipboard as the backup. But yeah, another kind of whatever move. You know, Titans aren't competitive. They're soft. No, they're not actually soft. I'm going to get to that later in the show. Someone called them soft, and their head coach was not happy with it. Last kind of QB change here, Spencer Rattler. I don't know why Jake Haener started in the first place. He's horrible. He's just as much of a meme as he was with those ridiculous, like, team media day pictures where I don't know what he was doing in those. Just kind of, he was serving looks, I guess. So he's serving looks. That's what the kids would say, but. Yeah, they made the right decision going back to Spencer Rattler. Slightly worried as a Packers fan. We are playing the Saints this week, and Rattler's got an arm. He's got some legs. He's got a whole body. He's got not much of a body of work here yet for Rattler, but he'll be their guy going forward. And I don't know, maybe QB of the future. Maybe they move on from Derek Carr if he succeeds here. But he struggled early in the season, so that seems a little less likely. Only other real starter question here is Geno Smith, ? Sam Howell, ? We don't know who's starting. I think Geno is going to play this week, but if not, it'll be Sam Howell. And And I dropped the cap to my water bottle, and I awkwardly picked it up because I'm clumsy. And if I knock over this water bottle and it gets on my computer, whew, I'll be in Siberia, whatever that means. But yeah, probably Gino, Sam Howell if he can't go. Let's keep talking some football with this next wild question. Did somebody retire mid-game? Maybe. I don't know. So obviously Deontay Johnson, he was in the news earlier this year because he refused to enter a game for the Ravens, just didn't want to play. That same thing happened this week, this past Thursday night. My man, who I'm a big fan of, Devondre Campbell, I got his jersey on right now, the former Packer. But evidently, Jerain Greenlaw got banged up, and Kyle Shanahan said, hey, Devondre, you're in. Go in the game. And Devondre Campbell refused to play. Tough look for a guy whose jersey you own. You don't like to see that. But I don't know. The assumption here is that he was mad that Dre Greenlaw took his spot when Dre Greenlaw came back from injury. And he just kind of felt slighted by that and didn't want to play, I guess. Yeah, but I don't know what actually happened here. I don't know what happened with Deontay Johnson and Devondre. Deontay and Devondre, they both are the mid-game retirees. I don't think they actually pulled Antonio Brown, but I don't know. I don't have anything. There's not really much to go on the story because all the coaches said is they refused to play. We don't know the reasoning for Campbell or Deontay Johnson. Maybe one day we can get Deontay or Devondre on the podcast, and I can ask him about it. Who knows? Maybe it's mental health related. Not something I want to talk on what I hope is a sports comedy podcast, but that could be part of it. But yeah, all the 49ers teammates kind of throwing Devondre under the bus. They're like, I don't want to play with a guy who doesn't want to play. But I don't know. Maybe there's more to it. We'll see if Devondre goes on one of his infamous Twitter rants and kind of defends himself there. But yeah, Deontay Johnson, the Ravens have mutually agreed to excuse Deontay Johnson from team activities. So pretty much gone. Same thing with Devondre Campbell. They basically suspended him the last three games of the season in addition to pre-firing him. I don't know if they actually cut him, but they basically said, we're going to cut you. I guess you have to serve the suspension and then get cut. Maybe they don't want him to just go fuck off to another team. They're just that mad at him. Maybe costing the game. It was a 12-6 game. You know, that was winnable game for them. And sad to see Devondre Campbell do that as one of my favorite players. But let's talk some coaching. Who's coaching now? That's my question. We got two coaches I want to talk about here. Bill Belichick, he's going to college. NC, North Carolina, UNC has signed Bill Belichick to a deal for X years. I don't know how long, but I don't know. Maybe the idea here for Belichick is to succeed a little in college, get a little more street cred, make his way back to the NFL. Kind of surprising move to me. I didn't think he would make I don't know if you want to call it a downward move like that. Maybe not. It's not a lateral move either because that'd be NFL. But yeah, it was surprising to me. I kind of thought he would land with a team in the NFL. But yeah, UNC, they're going to be hype. He's going to be bringing the recruits, obviously bringing the coaching, one of the greatest coaching minds of all time. So yeah, can't say anything negative about this move for UNC. Maybe the best move they've made in their football program. Since firing Mac Brown. Mac Brown was another guy who kind of retired, not mid-game, but mid-season, and then he came back. Super weird story. I wish I had covered that more. But yeah, Mac Brown, who won a national title, was not getting it done for UNC, so they turned to Belichick here, and a move you gotta love if you're a Tar Heels fan. A move you might not love if you're a guy at Norfolk State who owns a pet would be Michael Vick. Michael Vick is now a college head coach. He's been hired at Norfolk State. The dogs are barking. I don't know. Pretty low-hanging fruit for me to bring in a Michael Vick dog joke. Should we forgive him? Because I've heard he donates to dog foundations and whatnot. Who knows? But all I know is every single college student will be chirping him, and maybe not chirping him. They might just bark at him, because that's a great way to troll Mike Vick, who is obviously infamous for his dog rings, his dog fighting rings. Yeah, that's all I have to say on Norfolk State. You hired a dog fighter. He's got that dog in him. Or, well, he's got that dog in the ring. He's got that dog in there. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know, probably a good move for Norfolk State. He's a great football mind. Played in the league for 10, 15 years. So, good hire. But you're going to get a bad choir from any opposing fan who gets a chance to chirp Vic. I'm sure there's a huge rivalry at Norfolk State with someone, and they'll make use of this low-hanging fruit to make fun of Mike Vick for. Let's get to mostly MLB, a little bit of NBA. How many damn trades were there? There were so many. Let me count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I count 6 trades here. There were so many. The one that irked me the most was Devin Williams has been traded to the Yankees in exchange for Nestor Cortez and Caleb Durbin. I don't know a lot about Caleb Durbin. Nestor Cortez has been a great starting pitcher, so you like that there. But really sad for me to see Devin Williams go, our premier closer, one of the best closers in the league. The Brewers traded him. Why? I don't know. I think this is the third year in a row we've traded one of the best pitchers in the league. Just traded away maybe the best closer in Devin Williams. Before that, last year, we traded away Corbin Burns, a Cy Young winner, traded him away. And then before that, we had someone who a lot of people perceived as the best closer in baseball, Josh Hader. We all got him, shipped him off. Although Hader and Corbin Burns haven't been as good since leaving the Brewers. So maybe we made the right move here. Obviously, I and any Brewers fan was not happy with Devin Williams' performance in the playoffs, giving up that huge home run to Pete Alonso that kind of iced our season, ended it for us. So sad about Devin Williams, but I guess slightly excited about Nestor Cortez. Caleb Durbin, I got to look into you a little bit. But let's talk about more Yankees trades. We had Cody Bellinger traded from the Chicago Cubs. He will be a New York Yankee. Great outfielder, great hitter. The rich get richer, although I don't know if they're still as rich as when they had Juan Soto. I mean, I guess they're richer than when they had Juan Soto because they don't have to pay $700 million for a contract. But, yeah, they're staying rich. They'll be able to keep it afloat without Juan Soto because in addition to that, they signed Max Fried. Not a trade, I know, but they did sign pitcher Max Fried to an 8-year, $218 million deal with the Yankees. Don't have a ton to say on Max Fried. Don't have a ton to say on any of these baseball players. This is horrible analysis right now, I know. But yeah, Fried's a good player. All I know is that it was a bad contract, and I know that because I listened to Mike Francesa's podcast. That's right. The King has been urging me to listen to a little Mike Francesa for quite a while now, and I finally did it. And yeah, he said he likes Fried as a player, but he thinks the contract is horrible. So that's your Yankees talk. The Chicago Cubs, in addition to the Bellinger trade, made a trade for Kyle Tucker. The former Houston Astro will now be a Chicago Cub. One of the best outfielders in the league, hitting, fielding-wise, everything. So good for the Cubs. Maybe they can get back into contention, but I don't think so. When you're playing my Brewers, I don't think so. Two other trades. Garrett Crochet traded to the Red Sox. Good pitcher. No analysis there for you. Andrés Giménez has also been traded to the Blue Jays. Andrés is a 3-time Gold Glover. I've had him on my fantasy baseball team at numerous points. He can steal bases. Good fielding second baseman. Good trade for the Blue Jays. And apologies, I didn't go through all the returns on these trades, but mostly it's probably just prospects or draft picks. So if I can't have analysis on like premier MLB names, I'm not going to have analysis on a prospect, unfortunately. Last trade I got was a NBA trade. The Warriors have traded for Dennis Schroeder in exchange for D'Anthony Melton and 3 second-round picks. Love Schroeder as a player. I was a fan of him on the Los Angeles Lakers when he was on my team. And yeah, he's a good point guard for them there. Maybe move Steph to shooting guard and put Schroeder at the point. But we'll see how that goes. Warriors dynasty is dead, so who the F really cares? Last question for y'all here is, have we gone soft? And I shouldn't say we, maybe I should say the state of Ohio. Have lawmakers gone soft? So there is an Ohio lawmaker that is attempting to make flag planting illegal. He wants to make it a felony. So Representative Josh Williams is the guy who introduced that. Representative Josh Williams, you're soft. You're soft as hell. He introduced the Ohio Sportsmanship Act on Tuesday. Two Tuesdays ago. An attempt to curb flag planting attempts, according to the Columbus Dispatch, part of USA Today Network. But here's a quote from Representative Josh Williams. I'm proud to introduce the Ohio Sportsmanship Act to make flag planting at midfield a felony in the state of Ohio. Behavior that incites violent brawls and puts our law enforcement officers in danger has no place on the football field, Williams posted on X. Just hilarious. You're going to make it a felony? You're claiming that it incites riots? It doesn't incite riots. You know who incited the riots? Your players. They could have saw the flag plant and, you know, jawed at Michigan a little bit and got off the field, but they took exception to it, and they got in a huge brawl with Michigan. Yeah, you can argue the flag planting is what started the brawl, but a brawl doesn't start until a punch gets thrown. And I'm pretty sure Ohio State threw the first punch when they saw that flag being planted at midfield. So, Josh Williams, you're soft AF. You're going to make that a felony? Come on, dude. Do something good with your time in Congress. Maybe help with the actual problems that the country is facing, you know, economically and, you know, socially and whatever. There's so many other things you can focus on, but you want to make flag planting a felony. Grow some balls, stop being so soft, and take your L. You lost to Michigan, it sucks, but guess what? You're in the playoffs, so, you know, stop being a little bitch. a lot of swear words in this episode, and there'll be even more swear words in today's first year interruption, which is, of course, always our first segment of the day. This first year interruption is with Titans head coach Brian Callahan. So basically, there was a reporter that asked the Titans head coach to comment on the fact that some people have called the Titans a soft team. And Brian had quite a bit to say on this matter. So here it is, first year interruption with Titans head coach Brian Callahan.
I mean, you really want to get me going today? yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think it's complete and total bullshit, if you want my honest opinion. These guys are tough fuckers, man. They go after it every day. They play hard as hell, and there's at no point have we ever put on tape at any point this season that this is a soft football team. Like I can't even wrap my mind around how that would even be a conversation. I mean, just because we don't win games doesn't mean we're soft. These guys play their ass off. They play hard. They play physical. You can ask any team that plays against us that when they come off the field, they know they played us. Yeah, that makes me relatively angry that would be some presumption. That means you just don't watch the shit, you know. You don't do anything about it that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're looking at. So I'm not going to stand for anybody calling this football team soft. I think that's bullshit. So if that there's opinions out there that feel that way, then, you know, they don't know anything about NFL football. So I'd like you to walk in there and call one of these guys soft and see what happens, you know. This is not a soft football team at all, mentally or physically. And I think one of the things mentally that's really been impressive about the team is that the way that they keep fighting through the way that this season has gone. They've not shown at any point that they're not up to the task. They come out every day and work. They have – I mean, I'm really – you're going to really get me going now. I mean, these guys come out here and they do everything possible to win games. And if there's any assumption anywhere – that's outside of this building. Again, we don't focus on all those things, but there's no possible explanation to say that this team is soft any way, shape, or form, mentally or physically. And the way that they go about their work it's insulting to me, to them, to everyone that works here. So, you know, I'm not that no chance ever in hell would I ever admit that to be the case, and neither would anybody in this locker room. So you can kind of shove that one right up your ass, to be honest. So
shove that one right up your ass is what he said. All-time rant from Brian Callahan there. Totally agree with him. I would say there's no player in the NFL who is soft. Well, maybe Deontay Johnson, maybe Devondre Campbell. But yeah, his point is like, we're not soft physically nor mentally. And maybe Deontay and Devondre are mentally soft. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on their mental health or why they didn't play in the game, but I don't know if we're ever going to get an answer out of them unless someone asks them in an interview. And that's a loaded question to ask someone. But yeah, shout out the Titans. Not having a great year, but Tavondre Sweat last week, a 350-pound nose tackle, took an interception or a fumble like 50 yards, rumbling and stumbling down the sideline. I was screaming, hoping he's just go, 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 screaming, hoping he was going to get this insane return for a touchdown from a big man. But yeah, not quite a touchdown, but an awesome return nonetheless. Not a soft team at all. Yeah, totally agree with them. And who's calling the Titans soft? That's my real question. I don't know who called them it, but calling any NFL team soft is just kind of crazy. Even if you're the worst team in the league, you got dogs on that team. There's dogs on every team. Every team is tough. Playing in the NFL is tough. So whoever called them soft is way off base, and Brian Callahan was justified in his profanity-riddled rant there. So let's get to our interview. Let's get to our interview with my man, John Amauer, my little bro. We're going to be right back here on this couch, and I'm hoping, praying that this audio is way better than any audio has ever been before for an in-person podcast. But thanks again for pulling up, Jonna. And here he is, Jonna Maurer. All right. Now pulling up to the pod is a reoccurring guest in person again this time. It is my little brother, Jonna Maurer. Jonna, thank you for joining me on the podcast today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. He's back from Clemson. He's going to be in the United Wisco State for a little bit here, or whatever you call it. He's big on slots. He loves Pottawatomie. He went there the other night, so that was going to be, you know, kind of my first just random question. Who's better at slots, you or our older brother Andrew? Because there's been some debate here. So who's better?
Well, he's had more time to play. Obviously, slots are slots. It's a very luck-based game. But I'm going to go with slots. Andrew, because he's a big boy, and he has big boy money and big boy money to play with. So,
okay.
I think
so that makes him better because he has more money?
Well, and I think historically he has probably won more than I have.
Okay. You and Andrew, like, are like, how are you good at slots? It's a game of chance, but you and Andrew, like, you guys claim to be skilled at this game of chance. How are you good at
I don't know these claims or whatever Andrew says, but for me personally, it's kind of just whatever game it is. It's like, if I like the aesthetic of the game, if it's got good free games, if it's got good chances at bonuses, if it's got a good minor prize, major prize, but like grand prize. Granted, you're not really going to win the grand prize. So that's why you got to look at the smaller ones. Because if it's at like
the grand prize,
right. Yeah, but like if the smaller ones at like $5, that means that somebody won it recently. So
sure,
that means that you're probably not going to get a big win. And if you do, then you're not going to get what it should be or could be.
Right. But you're big on the aesthetic of the machine. You go Buffalo Bill every time.
I'm a big Buffalo guy. I've seen it. I saw a few new ones that were calling my name at Pato that might have to try out tonight, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I'll have to get back to you next time.
Yeah, we'll have to revisit that on the next pod. But let's talk some sports. Enough on slots. Talk some NBA, some football, obviously. We'll start with the NBA here. We just had the NBA Cup two nights ago. Your Milwaukee, not my I can't freaking talk, bro. Not my Milwaukee Bucks. Your Milwaukee Bucks are NBA Cup champions. So how does it feel to be a champion?
Not a champion. I mean, you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Giannis's second ring.
It's a cool trophy. I don't think you
Dame's
get a
first ring.
I don't think you get a ring for that.
No rings.
But one thing I will say is I'm just glad the way, like, yeah, on the court and everything, we were happy, but we didn't pull a Lakers where we went into the locker room and started spraying champagne and drinking beers.
I don't know
if you guys saw those pictures online.
They were spraying Michelob Ultra. That counts.
No, we weren't doing any of that. If you look at the table where they had all that stuff set out, we didn't touch any of it.
I don't know. We put on the hats.
We put on
Giannis was all dancing and shit.
That's because it was a great team win.
You guys probably went to the strip club in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't care what they do after that, but I mean, Darvin Ham, use your coach
undefeated
last year
in NBA Cup games, 14-0.
He literally told Doc, Shout out, Doc. I'm just gonna give you a heads up. Like, we celebrated like we won the championship after we won that last year, and it tanked our entire season. I mean, he didn't say that word for word, but he made a suggestion not to do it, and we didn't. So I don't know. I just like it. I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. The NBA Cup, it just means more. I wanted to talk about NBA more broadly. Obviously, the cup isn't really as big as people are making
it
out.
Also, Giannis is still the best player in the NBA. not even close. No.
Jokic. Oh. The Joker.
How do Giannis's numbers keep getting better? How?
He's got super team.
Yeah.
No, you have a great argument. I'm just going to stick with Jokic because we were at Pato the other night. Placed a little bet on Denver Nuggets to win the championship, so I'm gonna debate you there. But I want to talk about Jimmy Butler. His name has been spreading, has been all over the place in trade rumors. So we'll just start here. Do you think Jimmy Butler will get traded? Are the Heat gonna ship him off somewhere?
I don't know. I don't really see the Heat doing it, to be completely honest. Like, I don't think they're really close to a deal. Like, I know Jimmy said some things about wanting to go to either the Suns or Golden State, or that's somehow been made known. So do I think those other teams, he would pair very well alongside those big stars? Absolutely. But
wait, Golden State's one of the destinations?
Apparently.
Oh no.
That's I don't want that. That's a rumored.
What was the other one?
And then the Suns, which the Suns would probably have
Make
to give
big
up.
Big four?
No, they'd probably. I
gotta give up one of the big three.
I think they'd probably have to give up Beal because they don't have any picks because they sent all their picks to the Nets.
Right.
For KD.
Yeah, they got no future.
Yeah, they have less of a future than the Bucks
do
and the Bucks don't have a future.
Do you think that's the right move for the. Like, obviously, the Suns are in win now mode because they have no future with no draft picks.
Well, that's the thing.
Is that the right move for them, you think, to go after a Butler?
I think it would make the Suns team better because obviously. And Durant and Booker, that is just two extreme bucket getters. And Beal is in that same category. But compared to those two, other than 1 year in his career, I don't think we can ever put him above them.
Right. That's fair.
But that being said, as a third scoring option on a team, I think Jimmy Butler would play a lot better of that role for the Suns than Beal does. Not to mention Beal has had a decent amount of injury problems.
Sure.
Not to say, I mean, I honestly don't even know what Jimmy Butler's up to this year, but sure. I know what he does all around.
So
as
where
a basketball player.
For your money, if you think he's going to trade, where do you think Butler's going to end up?
Can I say he stays in Miami?
You can. So you don't think he's going to get traded?
I don't think he will end up getting traded, okay. But I think him on the Suns would be a very good pairing.
Sure. So I just mentioned my little bet slip, you know, a little plus 1600 odds on NBA champion Denver Nuggets. But if you were going to go to Pato later tonight, which you are, who would you put your money on to win the NBA Finals?
I mean, as a fan, as just a huge, huge supporter of the team, and the fact that we just played the way that I saw and I know we're capable of playing. And plus, we did that without Chris Middleton, who's a great defender and just an insane scorer and all-around player.
You're going homer pick here?
I think I would have to go homer pick. But if you said no Bucks, I would say the Thunder.
Interesting.
A healthy Thunder team with Chet, Hartenstein.
The baby Thunder.
Both Jalen's and I haven't even named their best
player.
Who's
a better Jalen? Jalen or Jalen?
Jalen, the one that spells it right.
Okay, not the J-A-Y-L-I-N.
Yeah, that dude, I'm dyslexic. You can't be doing that.
I still don't know who's who. I keep trying to figure it out. But so you got Bucks over Thunder in the final?
Yeah, we'll go with that. But I think
a repeat of the NBA Cup championship.
Yeah, but like I said,
Thunder are gonna be out for revenge, bro.
If you're not letting me pick the Bucks, I'm picking the Thunder. So yeah, I guess that's my championship then.
Sure. No, I like it. I like it. I want to talk a little bit about the draft, specifically regarding these bottom 10, bottom 5 teams in the league. Do you think tanking for Cooper Flagg is a good strategy in terms of, you know, building a future for your franchise? Would you tank for Coop if you're, you know, the Pistons or the Wizards or whoever? You know?
I was going to say, I think it depends on who's already on that team. Because I don't think Cooper Flagg's the type of guy that can go in there and be the number one guy.
You don't
to be completely honest. I think
I feel
teams
like
wait one more year. I think teams wait one more year. AJ DeBont, I don't want to mess up his last name. But yeah, who just signed with BYU. I think he's a lot better of a prospect. But
really?
Like Cooper, Pistons, if the Pistons end up getting Cooper, I think that is best case scenario because Cade and Cooper paired alongside and they got Jaden They got a few young guys and Duren sure. and I don't know. I think that's best case scenario as far as some of those worst teams go. But like if he goes to the Wizards, I don't think that'll be good for him.
It'll be too much. He'll be getting double teamed every game.
That's the thing is because that team right now?
So like, you don't think tanking is what the Wizards should do? You don't think they should tank for Coop?
No. I don't think the Wizards. And knowing the Wizards, shit, they'd probably just pick somebody else anyways.
Sure.
Look at their last few drafts. They're all over the place.
Shout out Johnny Davis.
Hey, he was actually playing some lockdown D the other day.
Yeah.
But Belil, Kyle, whatever his name is, from France has not been it. Cole.
tough year for
Cole Mijas is a Wizards fan for some reason.
Cole, you have to explain that because you don't even know why.
Well,
does he know
my
why?
Guess is that's he was just like a John team. Wall fan that turned into Bradley Beal.
That's fair.
And then he just stayed with the team. But I honestly could not tell you. Dang, whatever happened to John Wall?
I don't want to talk about right, that. I miss John. No, I miss John Wall. I don't want to talk about his downfall.
But Cooper's a great player. I think sooner or later he will be great. But I just think a team like the Wizards I can't think of some of these other bad teams right now, but I think he needs a guy ahead of him.
Sure.
To feel the game out for him. Like I think Cade and him would be electric.
Yeah. Tough to argue there. Last thing on the NBA here. I was wondering, would you like to do a new segment with me?
Sure.
It's presented by no one. The name of this segment is called Fix the NBA. So super not tough thing for you to do here. I just want you to fix the NBA's problem with ratings. Or the ratings are, I think, at a 10-year low or something right now. It's been a lot of the talk of the town. So you're a huge NBA guy. You're watching NBA games every night. Personally, I'm more of a casual. I'm not tuning in until the playoffs. But what's something you could say to people who are just not interested in the regular season? What's something the NBA could do to kind of improve these ratings that have just been falling off a cliff?
I mean, for one, like I saw something earlier where I think, was it Charles or yeah, it's Charles Barkley. He was like, yeah, I don't know why the league doesn't just move it back. Cause obviously football is number one, especially now with there being a 12 team playoff, there's even more games and even more primetime takeaways. Like the NFL is even putting a game during all these college football games on Saturday. Like, It's just hard for them to try to compete with that. And I understand they put this tournament to try to stick with it, but I genuinely think they should push it back. Like Charles said, like
move the tournament back?
Well, no, push the start of the season back.
What? And then you finish in August?
I don't think he went as far as saying this, but I think push the season back, shorten it a little bit.
I wouldn't hate having like
because the NBA then guys are potentially right sitting NFL, out less, yeah. getting injured less,
mm-hmm.
and we're pushing it back. So then there's just, I mean, after Christmas, the 1 week where there is a bunch of NFL football games, nobody's really watching because there's just half the teams aren't playing their players.
NFL cucked
and or
NBA Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, big time. I mean, go Steelers. I'm pretty hyped for that. Unless we lose. Well, shit.
But so what's the solution here?
I think
move it back.
I think move it back, shorten the season, and fix the damn All-Star game. Do you see what they're doing? Did you see what they're doing this year for the All-Star game?
No, is it some new stupid format?
So they have like a, it's 8-player teams, I believe. So it's an 8v8 of a sophomore rookie game, and then there's like 6 other 8-player teams drafted, I think, or I don't know the amount, but then whoever wins sophomore rookie, like the best players from there, or just the winning team, moves on, and then there's like an 8 or like a 5-on-5 tournament of these 8-player teams.
Okay.
And that's how they're doing it. Like there's not an All-Star game. That is the All-Star game.
The All-Star game is...
So it's like a tournament bracket of 5-on-5 games with like a bunch of different drafted teams from with a few different captains.
And the players draft the team.
Yeah, and it's like games to like 41 or something.
That's confusing. It seems like they might be overcomplicating that.
I mean,
but
like
they're trying to fix it.
I kind of understand it because they're trying to bring more competition. And quite honestly, I think if one of those young teams will just be the most fun to watch because those dudes are actually still trying to be killers, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. I just miss when people used to somewhat try. I mean, we never got to see the good ones, but
yeah, I wish I had been alive for the era where Bill Laimbeer is just clotheslining people. It's like personal foul.
I guess
you're not getting kicked out.
Didn't D Wade broke Kobe's nose in one, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw that game.
I mean, yeah, I definitely didn't watch that.
I might have missed the Kobe era a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's cool that Adam Silver just keeps getting more and more creative.
No, and like I don't know, maybe
but it's
maybe
it's
it
tough.
Does work, but obviously it's so hard to go back to, I mean, shoot, we're not even in regular old NBA anymore. Everybody's soft. We can't play, but I don't know. I think we need to let the boys play a little more.
Yeah.
I think if we move this start of the season back and shoot, let's say take 10 games off.
Sure. Yeah.
So what are we at right now? 82 game season, 72 game season, move the start of the season back.
Yeah.
Just got to play maybe a few more back-to-backs. I don't know. Obviously, players aren't going to like that, but.
We did it. We fixed the NBA. We got Adam Silver. Take these under consideration for sure.
Oh, and also fix how you put these games on TV.
What do you mean?
Oh, half the time I can't watch my favorite team unless I have NBA League Pass.
Yeah,
and that's where these people like Mr. LeBron James go and use websites like Streamies.
Dude, that is crazy that Bron.
Hey, I never heard of those websites until Mr. LeBron James showed
like
me.
Like, Bron, you really don't have the 200 mil a year.
How about Bron cuffs up a mil and all games are national? NBA.com is free to watch all games. Your ratings will go up then, big boss.
I don't know if a mil would cover it, but we'll see.
Run some ads during those. You'll be all right.
Just need a mil from each player's salary. That might do it. But let's enough on the NBA. Let's talk some NFL, starting with something that makes me very sad. Why did the Browns bench Jameis? Why? Why?
He's a turnover machine, dude.
He's that's the Jameis Winston experience.
That was the pre-LASIK Jameis Winston experience. That wasn't supposed to be the post-LASIK Jameis Winston experience.
Yeah, you'd think the LASIK would have improved that a bit, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
10 picks in 4 games.
Don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, I'm Steelers first guy. I don't like the Browns as a franchise. Not a Myles Garrett guy.
I love the Browns.
But Jameis is electric, so I am a fan of him. I'm sad to see that happen. Because who did he get benched for?
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Oh, okay.
DTR.
Yeah,
just not.
That's tough.
Yeah, I'm sad about it because I'm a Jameis fan. Well, let's stop talking about it because
The one thing I will say is I guess sad. It was a 2-score game when they benched him. I don't know if it was the third or fourth quarter.
But
I mean, DT,
he's benched this week as well.
Oh, that's tough.
DTR.
But, okay, but when they benched him mid-game, like, DTR is a completely different quarterback than Jameis. He's very mobile. He's got wheels. Yeah. He can make some plays. But, like, I'm assuming at that point they're like, all right, Jameis isn't going to get us a few more scores. We might just put DTR in there to give this defense a different look and see if we can make something happen. But obviously it extends further than that because I didn't know he was benched this week too. But that's – damn, you guys miss Flacco, huh?
They sure do. They sure do.
They should have. I was surprised when they let him. Well,
he's 40, 41.
I guess we keep forgetting about Deshaun Watson too. He really robbed that franchise.
Yeah, $200 million. Worst contract in history. Worst contract in history. Let's talk about another benching. Kirk Cousins got benched. He's been benched for rookie quarterback Michael Penix Jr. So my question for you is, are the Falcons jumping the gun a little bit here with Penix? It just, I didn't expect it to happen this soon. I mean, we knew it was going to be a conversation at some point, but I thought Kirk would at least make it a season, you know?
The one thing that does surprise me is they still have a chance to make the playoffs. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure they're second in their division.
Sorry, I'm fucking with his mic.
But I'm pretty sure they're second in their division. They're 7-7, maybe I don't know, but they're right there. And I mean, I understand, like, they get a guy like Kirk, they're expecting veteran play, which is not turning the ball over and just making the smart play. And Kirk has quite honestly been doing the opposite of that this year. Yeah. Like, they've been fairly successful, but this is not what they expected. So at this point, why not put a rookie quarterback that's been in there learning under Kirk, learning under all these guys for the past few weeks? And you know you're going to get a few of those silly turnovers, but Kirk's already doing that. You get a lot more upside with Penix. So I honestly, and I mean, I don't think this is, they think they're winning a Super Bowl this year. I think that, but I think at this point they're like, we're not going to play Kirk. We're not going to have Kirk on this team for another 3 years after this.
I think
that's their thought process. They're like, we might as well get Penix some playing time.
I get it. I just feel like it's going to go one of two ways. A, Penix is not great, and they go back to Kirk, and you hurt Penix's confidence. Or B, Penix is really good, and then you're stuck on the hook for $180 million with Kirk. And, you know, you just kind of...
It was a four-year, right?
4 years, $180 mil, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of... A lot of positives and negatives to both sides of it, I think.
But think they're making the right move here?
I kind of think so. Especially, I mean, they just have to start him the rest of the way out. If they bench him for Kirk after they're named him the starter, yeah, you're right. That's just going to ruin. That's going to ruin a homie's confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, not that Kenny Pickett was ever great, but after he got benched and then came back and played again, he was even worse than he was before. So,
yeah. You don't want to psych him out. Well, hey, it worked with Bryce Young. Bryce Young came back even better. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
That's true.
But
that's
I don't know. It would be cool to see Penix get him to the playoffs and maybe fuck around and win a game. Although, if they're playing the Packers round one, I definitely don't want that.
I always forget that they're NFC.
Yeah. I want to talk NFL draft as well. We talked a little NBA draft. Is Travis Hunter, is he a lock for the first pick of the draft? Is he a lock at the 1-1 here?
We don't know who the first pick is yet, or do we?
No, we don't. It's still up for grabs.
That's kind of what I thought. I
just keep hearing him as the number one.
I think it depends.
Mel Kiper guy or whatever.
Well, yeah, as a football player, when you have a chance of getting a 2-1 guy, or a guy that, I mean, obviously he's probably not going to play the same amount of snaps that he did in college at both positions, but
right.
A guy that can still go out there and play both when you need it, or guys get hurt, whatnot, guys aren't performing, guys are dropping balls, you're going to go put Travis in there, and he's going to show you why he should play both ways.
Yeah, I saw there's a report that there's like 13 different NFL GMs that all view him as a cornerback. Do you think that'll happen where he'll just kind of have to stick to one position, or do you think he'll keep doing the both ways thing?
I don't know. It's really hard to say, because even like,
I don't think any NFL team really wants him to play.
Well, even like a guy with like you might need Jabril Peppers. Everyone thought that, right? That's the guy from Michigan.
Yeah, no. he kind of played yeah, everywhere.
He was playing everywhere in college, and everyone was like, oh, he's going to be like an insane Swiss Army knife. And like, I've seen him do some kick returns and punt returns and stuff, but like, then again, you don't see him in a single much offensive better package. Defender yeah.
Than
and like, whatever. I do think, because of the fact that Travis has played both ways, I think his ball skills on defense are next to none.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's hard to say, because especially with him being as in the lights as he is, people are going to go out there and try to murder him.
Yeah. No, but that's fair, though. Yeah, it's tough to know if you don't know who's got the number one pick, because a lot of these teams might go quarterback, you know. Could
shoot,
be
if a team messes around and gets Travis and Shador on the same team, they better put Shador or Travis on offense.
You probably got to have two top 10 picks to do that, though, right?
Yeah, but there's trades to happen.
Yeah. We'll see.
I could see it happening. A team trading one of their quarterback or something in their first rounder for a top 10 pick, getting both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Well, continuing on in the draft, who do you think's the best quarterback coming out of this 2025 draft class? We got what? A couple names here. Shador Sanders obviously is hot. Cam Ward is a, you know, Heisman contender. I've heard Carson Beck, maybe first round pick.
I mean, obviously the way I talked just a second ago, I'm a big Shador fan.
Yeah.
I think he has everything to succeed, but at the same time, he gives me a low-key Jameis vibe.
Oh, Jameis is faster.
There's no way that can be true.
No, it is. It is.
I don't think so. I think it is. But I don't know. Like, I think he's got an insane arm. I think some of the decisions he makes are very poor. And, like, honestly, I feel like there are a few times this year where obviously he's just throwing a ball up there to Travis because he knows Travis can go make a play. But, like, there's a lot of wide receivers that you're going to throw that ball and that's turning into an interception every time. Yeah. So, I don't know.
But you think he's the best quarterback?
I think he's the best quarterback. I don't think he's the safest. But I think
he's got more upside.
I think he's got the most upside.
Sure. Shador Sanders, you are an Oakland Raider, right?
Yeah.
John has bought into this conspiracy theory that every time the Raiders lose, Shador Sanders tweets, "Thank you, God." And Shador Sanders is really keen on getting drafted by the Raiders. He would fit perfectly with their kind of culture, I think.
I think he would be sweet there. They do need. They also do need a wide receiver very bad. Brock Bowers is insane, but they need someone else other than Jacoby Myers out there.
Bowers is one of the best receivers in the league.
I keep forgetting that they traded Devontae this season too.
Yeah, because he didn't play. He was, you know, he was doing the Joel Embiid thing a little bit.
I'm injured.
But yeah, so you had a question you wanted me to ask you. You had me add this late. And I don't know. I feel like maybe this is Steelers propaganda, but who's the coach of the year? Who do you got coach of the year here?
Yeah. Okay. Steelers propaganda, obviously. Okay. I think
who's your coach of the year, Tomlin?
I think there's two guys that should, I mean, maybe there's more, maybe I'm missing some, but two guys that I am very just keen on this year. Like, obviously, as a Steelers fan, we're having a lot better of a year than I was expecting. And Tomlin has, and especially just seeing the Hard Knocks too recently, just seeing the way that Tomlin connects with his guys and just has put this team together is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Vikings coach, Kevin, is it O'Connell?
Kevin Geeson, I believe.
He does look like Kevin Geeson.
If you know Kevin Geeson, he's Kevin O'Connell's twin.
Side by side. Okay. Seriously. But, the fact that they're doing what they're doing, I knew they had a good defense going into the year. Obviously, nobody knew what to expect out of Darnold because he was dealt a bad hand on the Jets and then
anyone
the Panthers
expect
again.
This
but,
out of Darnold?
Yeah. They're 10-2?
I think they're tied with the Lions now after.
Are they 10-2 or are they 11-2?
No, they're like 12-2. Yeah, they're 12-2, tied with the Lions for first.
Yeah, they're one hell of a team. And I mean, when you've got Darnold throwing three tutties to Addison and two tutties to Jefferson for like, what, 250 yards total?
Got you feeling nicey?
Yeah, it's insane. Absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, I think it's realistically between those two guys.
Between Tomlin and O'Connell?
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
And like,
I feel like Tomlin won't get it just because of the recency bias and like
when I'm also,
he's probably want what how you guys many coach also, of the year awards has he already
you guys
won?
Also have the better division.
Yeah.
Because the Browns are cheeks. The Bengals somehow managed to lose every football game.
Right.
And then I mean Ravens are obviously a good team, but then I mean the Lions, Packers, and Vikings are all already at 10 wins.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. The Bears are called it. Told you they were going to be
the Packers could win out, be 13-4, and still like be in third place. It's insane. It's insane. But no, I like your call there with Kevin O'Connell. I think he's got a good chance to win there.
He's been killing it.
Keep talking a little bit about your team. Obviously, you guys had a scary injury in your game last week. So I haven't looked into it because I figured you've been monitoring it. He said he almost shed a tear.
During the game.
He almost shed a tear during the game. So what is the status on T.J. Watt's injury? What is the
injury? Well, it's not only T.J. Watt. Our number one DB, Deshaun Elliott, got injured last week, too.
Ooh, that's tough.
As of yesterday, I believe both of them were back at practice. Not full participants, but they were doing a few drills, along with Pickens, who has been out the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And...
But so like, Watt's not out for the season or anything?
No,
like that?
No.
Watt, I saw that play. It was non-contact. Like, I'm like, that guy just popped his Achilles.
Yeah,
I was
pretty worried for it. I can't remember
what
exactly.
Was it, like an ankle sprain or?
yeah, it said substantially
broken ankle.
just a left ankle injury during a recent game. That's all I'm getting.
He'll only miss a couple games, you think?
Yeah, I mean, limited in practice, and he's still uncertain for the game against Baltimore.
He hates the Ravens so much, he might just play.
And I mean, x-rays did come back negative. But that's
a positive.
That's the thing, is like, this game... Like, we're already clinched for the playoffs, but if we lose to the Ravens, we have the same record as them, the same, same record against each other. So
I
it'll
don't
be
know what the tiebreaker. It'd probably be division record.
Well, yeah,
like
it's gonna be division record, and we play the Bengals again, and we already lost to the Browns.
The Browns, shout out Browns or the Browns.
So it's. It's a little sketchy, but I also don't want to rush any of the guys back. I mean, I really want Pickens to play because our offense looks non-existent when he is not there.
Who's your number one when Pickens is gone? Is it Kelvin Austin? No disrespect to Kelvin Austin.
I think at this point, no, and I absolutely love Kelvin Austin.
Is he the number two?
Coming into the year. I thought it was Pickens, Van, Kelvin.
Van Jefferson.
And then Kelvin came out cooking. Van hasn't done much. He scored a tutty or two.
Yeah.
But
Kelvin's
on. And then halfway
other
through
guy.
The season, I was Pickens, Kelvin, then.
So let's get into this here. Do you want to change your Super Bowl pick? Because I believe on our last podcast, you made a Super Bowl pick, and your pick was essentially Chiefs over Packers. But if the Steelers trade for wide receiver, then I've got Steelers over Packers. So do you want to stay with that Super Bowl pick? Because that did come true. You guys did trade for a receiver. Mike Williams, if you guys forgot.
So for anyone that pays attention to anything football, Steelers were rumored to get about... I don't know, maybe five or six different quarterbacks or wide receivers in the last, what, 6-7 months?
Yeah.
Like over the offseason and even dirt throughout the year.
Yep.
We didn't get any of them, but we got Mike Williams.
You got Mike.
No, he wasn't.
Can't guard Mike.
Oh, I think he was
Thomas.
I think he was the only one that I wasn't like praying that we got.
But you got him.
I'm not upset. He won us a game.
Did
we
you
needed
pray for a wide receiver, literally.
You don't need to.
You did. He did. He did. He legitimately prayed.
But I mean, like, he's won us a game, but for whatever reason, it just sounds like he can't figure out our offense. He can't pick it up. And I guess that was what Rodgers was complaining about. So maybe Rodgers was onto something.
But so are you going to stay with Steelers Packers because you guys did get that receiver?
Yeah, I still like it. I'm not convinced by the Chiefs either. And I refuse to pick any other AFC team because I don't like the Bills and I hate the Ravens.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's talk some Thursday night football. We have Broncos at the Chargers. Chargers are favored -3. This is a huge game. It very well could decide a wild card playoff spot. This could end up being one of the tiebreakers here. So who do you got? Broncos in Inglewood in Los Angeles. Those Chargers are favored by 3. Who you got?
I didn't realize it was in Inglewood, but that makes more sense.
Yeah, it's in L.A.
I have been forced to watch a lot of Broncos football, courtesy of, you guys have seen him before, Josh McCudden. He was on the pod.
Shout out, Josh.
The Broncos are a good football team.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I hate to say it. They are actually a very good football team. I mean, so are the Chargers, but I've got Broncos in this game.
Broncos plus 3, or do you like a money line?
I'll take the, ooh.
You like them to win or to cover?
Both? No.
Okay, then take a money line.
Yeah,
money
line. I'll take them to win. I think their money line's like +120 right now or something.
Yeah, not too bad.
135.
Not too bad. Hopefully, I'm praying. It's not really a thing I should pray. It's just I got to do. I'm hopefully going to get this podcast out before Thursday Night Football. But yeah, some people might watch it after. You could look silly. But hopefully that doesn't happen. You got the Broncos. Let's finish out the podcast with some college football. Obviously, we got the bracket laid out. Your Clemson Tigers will be playing this Saturday.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to talk about some of the bye week teams, though, first. Do you think Georgia can win without Carson Beck? I believe Carson Beck has been ruled out.
Is he officially ruled out?
I haven't heard any positive signs to him that point to him playing. It seems like he's most likely going to miss that first playoff game, even with the bye week. So do you think Georgia can win without Carson Beck? They would play what, winner of Notre Dame, Indiana? I mean,
do they have a quarterback? Like, do we know who their backup quarterback?
Their backup, Beck got hurt at like halftime of the SEC championship, and their backup came in and they played well, made it to overtime, and their backup got hurt on like the second to last play of the game. They brought in Beck, couldn't even move his shoulder, and he handed off the game winner. But I don't know. It seems like Beck could be sitting this one out. You think they can win without him?
Do we know how young their backup is? Is he a transfer guy? Like, has he played? Like, we don't know any of this.
Great question. See, maybe something I should have looked into more before asking.
Answer is no.
You don't think they can beat Indiana or Notre Dame without him?
Oh, I forget that's one of those two teams. Yeah, Georgia's got it. Fuck.
Yeah, Georgia. I think, I don't know. I wanted your take on it, but yeah, Notre Dame at their peak has been a great team, but they also haven't really played anyone that great.
Also, so
it's tough. It's tough.
If he played in the championship game too, maybe that was his first time playing, whatever. He kept them in it. They obviously ended up winning.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably be fine. Obviously, their defense is very, very good at football.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they can stay locked in, I think it should. I think they'll be all right.
Yeah.
And plus, I don't have much faith in either of those other two teams.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about another bye week team. A lot of people would argue maybe they weren't deserving of this bye week. But can Ashton Jeanty keep carrying this Boise State team, or is this kind of where the road stops? I think Boise State would be playing the winner of Penn State SMU. Ooh. So what do you think there? Can Jeanty carry these guys on a little magical Cinderella run here?
I think they play SMU.
You think SMU is going to beat Penn State?
No, that's the thing. Is if SMU somehow wins against Penn State,
yeah,
I think Boise can win that.
But you don't think they can beat
Penn State? I don't think he's going to run like that. Because, I mean, I haven't watched Boise State play. Obviously, Jeanty is a freak of nature.
Yeah.
But I think he'll get slowed down as soon as he comes into contact with a few of these better defenses. And I don't know what their quarterback has to offer, their passing game. So if Genty gets slowed down, does that mean they just have negative offense? Plus, I assume their defense.
I don't know. What, they got Madsen, their quarterback? He's okay, but.
Like, I don't know. I just,
you've been getting carried by.
I just imagine their defense probably.
Robbed of the Heisman, by the way.
Wrong.
I don't want to debate that, but. So wrong. So, well, who do you got in that Penn State SMU game? Because obviously that's a huge
factor. I'll take Penn State.
Okay, so I don't know. It's kind of all on Genty's shoulders against the Nittany Lions then, huh?
And that's the thing, is I don't know enough else about Boise. Like, I don't know how their defense is. I don't know their quarterback. I don't know if they have any decent wide receivers. Like, obviously, all anybody talks about is Genty, and I quite honestly haven't sat down and watched a game, but.
You should. He should. He's very entertaining. But yeah, let's talk about some of the games this weekend. This is a kind of a mean. This is definitely a mean question. How much are y'all gonna lose to Texas by? He's a Clemson Tiger over here, and Texas is what, 11 point favorites in this game. They're not giving you a chance.
We're a Tiger John. Fan. We are not a Clemson Tiger.
They're not giving you a. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't feel good about it.
Well, Texas is Texas, dude. They are a very good team. The last time we played this good of a team, obviously Clemson. Georgia. I mean, we lost to.
Got their ass kicked by Georgia. You were at that game, right?
Well, and I mean, we lost to SMU too. Or no, we beat SMU. What am I talking about?
You lost to someone bad. I forget.
South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina's not bad.
Yeah. But like, or Louisville. I mean, we just had a few very bad losses. Like, I've seen the way our team is capable of playing. I've seen the way that Cade is capable of playing. But it's not always clicking on all cylinders. So like, obviously, it's college football playoffs. You gotta show up and show out. And we haven't been very consistent this year. So that's just what I'm worried about. Are we capable? Yes. Are we gonna have to play our best game of the entire year? Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you like them for the upset?
I took them for the upset.
You bet on them?
I did.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
I took Steelers and Pittsburgh money line. Come back
a little,
when
a
I
little
hit
parlay.
Both.
If you go to Pato later, I might have to get you to put in a bet for me. We'll see. But yeah, other than Clemson, do you think any of these teams can pull a first round upset here? A lot of these games are kind of maybe a little lopsided, at least in terms of points.
What are the other games again?
We got Notre Dame, Indiana on Friday, Penn State, SMU, Texas, Clemson. What's the other one? Ohio State, Tennessee. Ohio State is even 7.5 point favorites against Tennessee. So pretty large point spreads. Maybe some of that has to do with home games.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know. I don't think I really see, because Notre Dame is higher than SMU, or right? That's who they're playing?
Indiana. Sorry,
Indiana.
I was hiccuping.
Notre Dame's ranked higher than Indiana, right?
Yes.
I could see Indiana maybe winning. I don't know. I just don't really have faith in Notre Dame for whatever reason.
Well, they had an easy schedule, and they lost to Northern Illinois, so I don't blame you totally.
Watch them win.
I gotta get rid of these hiccups, man. Well, I only got a couple more questions. Let me battle through these hiccups. But Indiana's the one team you think might have a chance at this upset here.
I think so. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe SMU. I don't know. They're a tough team.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. Last question on college.
I guess Clemson's technically an upset too, isn't it?
Clemson might be the biggest upset of them all. I think they're the
that makes sense.
That might be the biggest point spread. I don't know. I'd have to check.
I don't know. This is just me being biased again. So I mean, I can't really.
Yeah. Well, so last question on college football for you: who's winning it all? Who's your who's your champion?
Unbiased answer: Georgia. Biased answer: Clemson. Because that's the thing. I know we're so capable. It's just we got to be clicking on all cylinders, like I said, and I just haven't seen that too often this year.
Fair enough. Tough to bet against the Georgia Bulldogs. Well, I just got one more question for you, John. Thanks again for pulling up for the in-person pod. We don't do many of these. We got a new microphone, so hopefully it was all sounding a lot better than the prior ones. But last question, you're on your way to a watch party later tonight. So are you hype for Beast Games dropping tonight on Amazon Prime?
Absolutely. Shout out Danny Nelson. Shout out Goose.
Yeah, same guy.
Absolutely stoked for you and in this huge opportunity to absolutely cook in the Beast Games.
Yeah.
About to go crazy. I saw a few clips. Not going to lie. A
few teasers.
Just a few teasers. But if people haven't heard of it, go check out
385
on Amazon Prime.
Look for number 385. That's Goose. That's the Goose. Yeah. Should be awesome. I'm excited for it. And so you're going to go to the watch party and then Potawatomi right after?
Yeah, that sounds like the plan.
Awesome. Well, win some slots. And I don't know if I want to do like college football playoff parlay. I'm addicted to,
what do you take?
I'm addicted to legal sports betting. I got to Potawatomi. I didn't really hit a bet, but I pushed on the Falcons. So
are you just want to pick a winner?
Yeah, but I'm looking at all these college football games. The spreads are so large. So I'm like, I have no idea who to pick. I don't know much, but yeah, man, good luck with the slots tonight. And yeah, you gotta let us know if you play any other games, but it sounds like you might just be sticking to slots.
Yeah,
right?
I might have to, like, blackjack's fun, but that I'm always just fluctuating too much in there.
I was cooking in blackjack.
Yeah, you went crazy.
I didn't go crazy.
Accidentally.
I literally lost the hand that I won all the money on, but I had won the side bets, and they're like, you just won $200. I'm like, really? The pit boss comes over. She's like, seriously? Like, but that was awesome.
Also,
this man hit on a hard 18 in blackjack.
So they
kept asking him, they're like, are you sure?
I had a few beverages in me, and
sure.
So I don't know what I was trying to do, but I doubled down on a hard 18.
Wait, you doubled down and then you hit?
I doubled down on a hard 18, which is an automatic hit, which I did not realize at the time.
Yeah, the pit boss did ask you. And then she's like, are you counting cards? Like, how did you do that?
They asked me like four times. Like, are you sure? I was like, at that time, they've already asked me like a bunch. It's like, I might as well either just lose this hand or just look sweet. And then they flipped a 3 for me. Blackjack, baby.
And the
pit boss was pissed.
The
pit boss just let out a big sigh and just like was staring at me for a while. No, it was a different one at the time.
Oh, the pit, you said you hit it and the pit boss was just like,
it was a dude. He was
the guy's just like, shh.
Yeah, he was mad.
Gotta be kidding me. Well, thanks, Jana, for pulling up to the podcast. I hope people glean some wisdom. I hope the new microphone worked nicely. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Go. I'll root for Clemson. Okay, I will. He got really mad at me when I was rooting for SMU against Clemson, but I didn't want them to win. I wanted them to make it close because I wanted them to knock Alabama. That's exactly what happened. Who's the what?
Who else are you going to root for at 3 o'clock on Saturday?
SMU.
No.
Oh, Ravens. Okay, I'll root for the Steelers too because he's giving me
also
the
PSA to Rachel Maurer, no more wearing your friend's Raven stuff. Never again. Might have to disown you.
See, this is where I disagree. I don't think Rachel has to like the Steelers just because you like
them. She doesn't have to like the Steelers, but she can't wear Raven stuff. She doesn't have to like them, but she can't wear Raven stuff.
Oh, dude, I need to get like a Lamar Jackson.
That's like if her friend was a Bears fan and she started wearing Bears stuff, man.
I need to get a Patrick.
Actually, the Bears suck.
I want to get a Patrick Queen split Ravens Steelers jersey.
If Rachel came home in a Lions jersey, would you be pissed?
Okay, maybe he has a point here.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, maybe you have a point. All right, well, that's the interview.
I've got to go snowblow.
That's the podcast.
Thanks again, Jana, for pulling up to the podcast. Really appreciate it, brother. Rooting for Clemson. Hopefully Texas doesn't beat the brakes off you, but going to be a tough one. Going to need to pull an all-time upset. A 12-5. The 12-5 matchup, that's usually, that they say, the most likely matchup to be an upset in college basketball. So maybe that translates to college football as well. But who knows? Let's finish out the show here with everyone's favorite moment of the week, the goosebump moments of the week. Starting it off at number 10, we have Falcons DB Jesse Bates picking off the Raiders' Hail Mary attempt here.
Three receivers to the right. Ritter drops way back, steps up, launches high to the end zone. Jump ball again, and it's going to be intercepted. Not batted down, caught in the end zone, and Atlanta is going to survive as Jesse Bates comes up with the game-clinching play in the end zone.
Number 9, Tyler Hero hits a disgusting three to send the Heat to overtime. I think they still lost, though, but whatever.
The Hero rises and fires and fills it up. Wow. Tyler Hero with 5.1 to play.
Number 8, Davante Adams escapes defenders for a 71-yard touchdown late in the fourth.
He's got Davante Adams. Adams is going to take it into the end zone for a Jets touchdown. And that deserves a wow.
Number 7, Giannis Antetokounmpo makes a clutch block in the NBA Cup semifinal.
Up top, Capella, wow! Giannis, what a block!
Number 6, Malachi Smith with the game-winning and one play for Dayton.
Trying to get by the D, takes it in, it's good, and he got fouled!
And one!
Hicks fouls up. And Malachi Smith, the chance to put the Flyers back in front.
Number 1 in the country and makes the biggest play of the night for the basket, and a free throw is good.
Number 5, Chase Hunter banks in a running three to send the game to overtime. Wow.
Tigers gotta go. Here comes Chase Hunter. He banks it in. He banked it in. 0.3 seconds to go.
Number 4, Dylan Harper beats the buzzer to win it for Rutgers.
In to win. Dylan Harper, the buzzer. Hello, how do you do?
Number 3, Anaya Tua hits the game winner, then hits the Jordan shrug.
Off the dribble, Adams, she's right there. Turn around, off the glass and in. Oh my, Anaya Tua, what do you mean? The game-winning shot for California Baptist, Anaya Tua.
Number 2, Jeremiah Fears wins the game for OU on a 4-point play.
Fears will let this one. Got it! He hit it! He hit it! And fouled, and he goes to the line, tied at 86 with 11.5 seconds to go. And it goes down. And Oklahoma leads by one.
Number 1 moment of the week, Maximilian Kiesel scores the walk-off golden goal as Vermont wins the championship.
Championship, 1v1 against Yannick! Oh my gosh, they do it! Don't call them Cinderella, you can call them national champs! For the first time ever!
Don't call them Cinderella. Call them national championships. Call them national champions. Wow, I am stuttering like a MF on this podcast today. I can't stop stuttering. I don't know why I was stuttering all through that goosebump moments of the week, but all-time moment there from Maximilian Kiesel, that walk-off golden goal in OT to win the plucky underdog Vermont to win them the national championship. In soccer, the NCAA title. You love to see it. Let's finish out the show here. We got our TNF pick Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. This week it's Broncos at the Chargers. Chargers are 3-point favorites in Inglewood. My pick personally is going to be Broncos plus 3. The Chargers can't run the ball worth a damn since J.K. Dobbins got hurt. Although it's not like the Broncos can really run the ball much either. But if you take away the fact that he's thrown 9 more interceptions than him, I'd say Bo Nix is playing just as well as Justin Herbert this year. And I like Denver's defense to keep Herbert in check tonight. So I got the Broncos winning, covering. I guess that means I'm taking Broncos money line. And they'll be that much closer to a wild card spot. And after the win, they'll head back to something I wish I was right now, a mile high.